Father, we pause this morning just to thank you for your love and the way that you demonstrate that love for us, the ultimate demonstration of that love. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Father, if we have put our faith in you, we're recipients of that and enjoy that grace. And that is why we worship you today. And yet we also thank you for your grace that is displayed through others in reflecting you. And we think this morning in particular of our mothers and how so many of us have been blessed with godly mothers that have displayed the true character of even your goodness and grace and ultimately, and in many ways, has led us to a desire and a knowledge of you. And so we just recognize that this morning, but ultimately we recognize you because you are the provider of all of those things. And we pause to be, again, grateful for all of that. And as we open your word this morning, may we be encouraged, may we be challenged, and may we be convicted as you use your words to penetrate our hearts again today. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you that haven't heard the story, the story is about a husband and father who one afternoon came home from work to find total chaos in his house. And his three children were still outside, still in their pajamas, playing in the mud with empty boxes and wrappers thrown all over the front yard. The door of his wife's car was open, as was the front door to the house, and there was no sign of the dog. Proceeding into the entry, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over, and the throw rug was wadded up against one of the walls. In the front room, the TV was loudly blaring the cartoon channel, and the family room had toys and various items of clothing thrown all over the place. In the kitchen, the dishes filled the sink, breakfast food was spilled on the floor, a broken glass lay under the table, and a small pile of sand was spread by the back door. Well, as you can imagine, this man began to panic just a little bit, and he quickly headed up the stairs, stepped over more toys and more piles of clothes looking for his wife. And being worried that she may be ill or that something serious had happened in his house, he made his way up the stairs and met a small trickle of water coming out of the bathroom door. And as he peered inside, he found wet towels, scummy soap, and more toys thrown all over the floor. Miles of toilet paper lay in a heap, and toothpaste had been smeared all over the mirror and the walls. So as he rushed into the bedroom, he found his wife still curled up in the bed in her pajamas reading a novel. And she looked at him and smiled and asked how his day went. And he looked at her completely bewildered and asked, "What happened here today?" And she again smiled and answered, "You know, every day when you come home from work and you ask me, what in the world did I do today?" "Yes," he replied. "Well," she answered, "today I didn't do it." All right, now, ladies, don't you get any ideas from that illustration? All right? But how our mothers and our wives are so underappreciated. And on the other side of the coin, oh, how so blessed we are by them. Amen? I think so often, though, they feel overwhelmed and I think wonder whether they're really accomplishing anything significant or really making any difference for the kingdom. And yet being a mother is one of the greatest professions a woman can have in God's mathematics. Yet so often it is one of the most underappreciated and undermined professions there is. But from a biblical or from a Christian perspective, the eternal investments that are made are immeasurable and have influence for generations to come. And I'm reminded of a simple little verse. It's not in our text this morning, but one that we probably pay little attention to, that's found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, where Paul says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice." Okay, we don't know a whole lot about Grandma Lois in Scripture, but what we do know is that she had a genuine faith in the Lord and that she lived out that faith. And as she did so, it influenced her daughter Eunice to the point that she also had a genuine faith in the Lord. And from there, she had a son named Timothy who realized the importance of that faith in his own life and later became a partner to Paul and his great ministry. He also became a prominent leader for the early church, influencing generations to come, including our own generation, as we read through the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. See, so a godly mother or a godly grandmother can make a difference in the kingdom. As much as we feel our task is maybe insignificant at times. The text for the message this morning is in Proverbs 31. Which, of course, is known to be the chapter of the godly or the virtuous woman or the woman of godly character. And I think as you read through that particular passage, in my mind, verse 30 is really the central verse to the entire passage that says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is in vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." And I think there's really two obvious points to be made here. One is that every woman should aspire to becoming a woman that fears the Lord. And I'm not just talking about mothers here. I'm talking to those of you that are single, and I'm talking to you, those of you that are teenagers and young girls. Because you also need to pursue becoming a godly woman if one day you're going to be a godly wife and a godly mother. Don't somehow think that things are going to change when you get married. You know, oh, you know, I'm not going to worry about that stuff until I get married, until I have kids. It doesn't happen that way. Things don't all of a sudden change because your status changes. What you become as a wife and as a mother one day will be based on what you do with your life today, including the decisions that you make as to who your friends are and who you will date and what you will pursue and what your priorities are and whether or not you will choose to serve the Lord in your life starting now. Now the question is, what exactly does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, it really means to admire or to revere who God is. It also means to acknowledge and respect what God says more than anybody else. And so God being the priority over anything or anyone else. And if you look through Scripture, what you'll find is that is the person that fears the Lord is characterized by a number of things. First of all, it's a person who's wise. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is also a person who is morally strong and hates what is evil. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Proverbs 23:17, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. It's also a person who maintains confidence in God. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence. It is also a person who knows the value of obeying the Lord. Psalm 112, verse 1, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. It is also a person who pleases the Lord. Psalm 147, verse 11, which says, the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. And those are just a few of dozens and dozens of verses that talk about the fear of the Lord. And so really that is lesson one out of that particular verse. Every woman of every age should pursue becoming a woman that fears the Lord. And if, as you get to Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 27, it describes that woman in her day-to-day function. Okay, which again, and as Brian referred to, this is not a woman of perfection, and this is not a woman that is unattainable. It is simply a woman who is applying her faith to her everyday life. Now, the second lesson, according to verse 30, is that that kind of woman is to be praised. In other words, she's to be recognized, she's to be honored, and she is to be blessed. And specifically, because the passage is speaking about a woman of godly character, it is those characteristics of godliness that should be praised and recognized. And therefore, to praise and recognize those characteristics that reflect ultimately God is to then praise God Himself. I don't know if you've really thought about it that way in terms of praising a godly wife, in turn, praises God Himself. Now, who's supposed to do this? Well, if you back up a couple verses to verse 28, it tells you specifically. It says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. So let's start with children blessing their mom. Children stand, or some translations will say, arise and call her blessed. It's really a picture. Standing is a picture of respect. And it is a public acknowledgement not only to her, but also to others that this is my mom. And I'm proud of who she is, and I'm proud of what she stands for, and I'm proud that she's mine. Now, it's one thing to say all of that. It's another thing to actually demonstrate it. And so how can children bless their mothers? There was a 15-year-old boy that came bounding into the house after school and found his mom in bed. And he asked if she were sick, and he was truly concerned about his mom. I mean, he loved his mom, and it was very genuine and was concerned about her. And his mom replied, well, as a matter of fact, I really don't feel very good. And so the son, in response, says, well, Mom, don't worry a bit about dinner. He says, I'll carry you down to the kitchen. Yeah, I'm sure we all have our ideas of what it means to bless our mothers. But you know what I found is I searched the scriptures. There's really two main things that children should do to bless their mothers. And I think the other things really stem off of these two key areas. Number one is obeying her precepts. Because a godly mother is constantly instructing her children in the truths of Scripture. And so it is beneficial to obey her, not only because God says so, but because applying God's word powerfully changes your own life. And so obedience to her in regard to the things that she calls children to do and to be is actively honoring mom. And of course, we get that principle out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Okay, so that what that doesn't mean is that children obey your parents when you feel like it or when it's convenient or when you agree with what she or your parents say. But it literally means that children are to listen and respond to godly instruction. And let me just say, children, teenagers, obedience is always for your good. All the time. Because the verse says, if you obey, it pleases the Lord, number one. Number two, it produces a fruitful life. It says it will go well with you. And number three, it says it will prolong your life. Now, you may hear that and say, well, does that mean if I obey my mom, I'll live till I'm 85? Not necessarily. The text here means that if you obey your parents, which, by the way, is obeying the Lord, you will live the full length of how long God intended you to live. To not obey your parents, or your mother in this case, is to remove yourself from God's ordained authority in your life and therefore put your life at risk, because it creates numerous possibilities of shortening your life due to the dangers of disobedience and sin. Okay, so God calls a mother to raise her children according to his ways, and when she faithfully does that, and in response there's obedience to that, it then becomes a blessing to her. So children, one of the greatest things you can do in blessing your mother is to obey her. It's like, oh man, is that it? It's not always that easy though, is it? But it's something that children are called to do. The other thing that I see in Scripture in ways that children can bless their mother is to honor her position. And this really deals with one's attitude towards mom. Because isn't it true that we can do all the things that we're supposed to do, but do them with the wrong attitude? You know how that goes, right? And yet obedience with a wrong attitude is still disobedience. And so our attitude needs to be right, not just our actions. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Deuteronomy 27, verse 16, cursed is the man who dishonors his father and his mother. Okay, in fact, if you go back to the Old Testament, dishonoring parents actually led to the punishment of death. Don't you parents be thinking anything, okay, on that. But the point here is that God takes honoring your parents very seriously in Scripture. The word honor literally means to value highly or to hold in highest regard and respect. Now, what are ways that we can demonstrate that? Well, again, our attitudes, even our gestures, our body language, as mom asks us to do something, and maybe we're not crazy about doing it, but sometimes even the way we look at her, the way we roll our eyes, or just in a bodily response, demonstrates your attitude. How often do you say thank you? Are you appreciative to the woman who's changed literally hundreds of stinky diapers of yours, you know? I mean, you start thinking about all the stuff that mom's done over the years. And how many nights she stayed up with you. And all of the meals that she's made for you. And, you know, sometimes we take this kind of stuff for granted, but, you know, I just kind of got my calculator out and I'm figuring out, well, you know, if you know, most moms are, you know, making three meals a day, and if you're 18 years old and you work out the math on that, you know how many meals that is? That's the 19,710 meals. All right? That's unbelievable. But even more than the stuff that she does for you, consider how she prays for you and loves you unconditionally, listens to you, cares for you, constantly teaches you and models godly and eternal principles. And so in light of all of that, bless your mom. Bless your mom with the attitude, the right attitude that you should have towards her. If you're no longer living at home, you can honor your mother. And you're still called to honor your mother. And so you should call your mom today if you don't live nearby. You should spend time with her if you're able to do that. You should still continue to thank her and encourage her and listen to her and make sure that she is well taken care of, especially if she's widowed, 1 Timothy chapter 5. Proverbs 23:22 says, "Do not despise your mother when she is old." It's really funny, you know. I remember as a kid thinking that when my parents got into about their mid-40s, I thought they were really old people, you know? I don't know what the deal with that is. And all of a sudden, I'm in my mid-40s here. And I just graduated from college, for crying out loud, you know? No, I think sometimes, and I think maybe to some degree, every kid looks at his parents as old. Maybe sometimes that, you know, that they don't have a clue what is going on with life and understanding or really getting the way it's supposed to be, you know? But I think those of us that are past that stage often realize that our parents really weren't as dumb as we thought they were. Children were to bless their mothers by obeying and honoring them. I also have to say, let me just add one other thing to that particular point in saying that doesn't mean that you always agree with your mother. And that doesn't mean that you always see eye to eye with your mother. And it doesn't mean that you don't have conflicts with your mother. But even in the midst of that, no matter who you are, no matter how old your mother is, no matter what she may even struggle with, we're still called to honor our mothers. And that should be something we continue to do until the day she dies. The other group, verse 28 talks about, is husbands. Husbands blessing their wives. It says, her husband also. Now, how is that supposed to take place? Well, let's just say that's a little more than remembering your anniversary or her birthday or, of course, Mother's Day at the last minute. I know that may come as a shock to some of you this morning, but there's more to it than that. And there's a couple things that we need to do, and I think verse 28 helps us understand here. Number one is we need to affirm her. Verse 28 says he praises her. It literally means that he's boasting or he's shining or celebrating or commending her. And I think it's difficult enough for women today to become godly and remain godly and pursue godliness, because we live in such a vast ungodly culture. In the midst of a feminist philosophy, in the midst of a push for independence, in the midst of undermining the whole idea of staying home and raising children, with the whole emphasis on outward beauty versus inward character, and then add on top of that all of the other temptations that are out there today. And so it's crucial to affirm their desire and their pursuit of godliness in our homes by recognizing those traits and praising her for them. And so shine the light of recognition and praise on her for her quiet faithfulness, for her unselfishness, for her hard work, for her steady character and moral character, for her caring, for her encouragement. And just think about this for a second, guys. When is the last time that you acknowledged the godliness of your wife to her? You may say, well, man, I'll tell you, James, my I don't know about your wife, but my wife's got a lot of stuff to work on. Don't be so deceived, guys, into thinking you don't have stuff to be worked on. Right? And how often do you and I need affirmation and encouragement when we do the right stuff? Right? And so, yeah, your wife isn't perfect, but when she pursues godliness, we as husbands need to be the first ones to rise up and call her blessed and applaud her and say, way to go. See, that will bless your wife and that will encourage her to continue in godliness, because she cares what you think. She cares that you acknowledge her. She cares that you notice her pursuing godliness. means more coming from you than it probably does from anybody else. Secondly, we need to adore her. Really is the idea here that she is precious, she's valuable. You go back to verse 10, the question is asked, who can find a godly wife? I remember asking that question when I moved to Rothbury. For crying out loud, who can find a godly wife? But God was gracious and merciful and actually produced a miracle in this place called Rothbury, because he had waiting for me that which was and is still priceless. I always think MasterCard should do that commercial about that, you know? First date, $50, engagement ring, $2,000, wedding, $10,000, a godly wife? Say it. Priceless, yeah. There's just some things money can't buy, and that is one of them. And I love the statement that's made here in verse 29. And it says, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. In other words, there's a lot of good women in the world today, but there is nothing better than a godly woman. And the idea here is that the husband is saying, you are the best of them all. You're the cream of the crop. I am so proud of who you are. You can tell this husband is really thankful and wants to shine the spotlight on his wife. Really, the picture here is like taking some expensive crystal vase or some expensive piece of jewelry and putting it in an enclosed case with a light on it for all to see because of its high value. But how value is our wife to us, guys? How thankful to the Lord are you for giving her to you? I think we need to demonstrate that a little bit better sometimes. I know I do. We need to demonstrate adoring our wives, even as with a simple thing as opening the door for her. Praising her before others, especially our children. Not exposing her weaknesses to others. Not mocking her in front of others. But being attentive to her, being considerate of her desires and her needs. Asking for her opinion. Protecting her from sin and disrespect. Maybe for some of you guys, it's just maybe you just need to take your wife shopping. Going, oh man, how come you had to mention that? You know, maybe it's actually buying something for your wife that she doesn't actually need. I think if we treated our wives like some of us treat our sports equipment and our cars and our tools, I have a feeling our wives would be blessed beyond belief. And yet, is she not more precious and more valuable than those things? And this is not just a bunch of stuff that I give you today, you know, say, you know, you need to do all this stuff on Mother's Day, guys, you know. This is not about Mother's Day. I mean, this is a day where I think it's a good thing to recognize our mothers and our wives, appreciate them. But this is not about Mother's Day. This is about a lifestyle. This is about a way of living for us as children and as husbands in acknowledging and encouraging and blessing our wives and mothers. And again, I'm still learning how to do this better. But I find that one way to help? Because some of you guys are sitting there going, I just have no clue. I don't know what to do. I don't say. I don't know how to bless my wife. You know what? If you really want to figure it out, why don't you sit down with your wife and ask her the question, honey, how can I bless you? How can I do a better job of encouraging you? And then guys, just shut up and listen to your wife. I'm serious. Don't say anything. Just sit there and listen. And if you have to, put a pen in your fingers and start taking notes. And our wives will tell you. They'll tell you what they need. They'll tell you what they need more from you. Question is, are we listening? Let me close. And let me just say this. I think we all realize that we live in the midst of a very ungodly culture. And in light of that, how refreshing is it to have a godly presence in our home and in our lives? How thankful should we be for, not a woman who's perfect. I'm not trying to paint some out of this world picture of the perfect woman. I'm just talking about a woman who genuinely loves the Lord and a woman who just genuinely is trying to go after God and become more like him in the midst of her weaknesses. Okay? We're all there. I think we can all acknowledge that. We all have our struggles. But how refreshing is it that there is this individual in our lives and in our homes that's going after the stuff that matters the most within a culture who doesn't even see it, who doesn't acknowledge it, who doesn't prioritize it, and who says that stuff is meaningless? Should we not then, in the midst of that, elevate those and the characteristics of those who are going after what matters eternally? You see what I'm saying? And yet, how often do we take that for granted? And we just kind of go through our day and, you know, we do our thing, we go through our routine, and another day goes by, and another day goes by, and a week, and a month, and even years, to the point that sometimes we don't say anything at all. And we don't acknowledge what's most important, and we don't acknowledge and give honor to the things that reflect the very character of God. I have to say, I'm so thankful that I have been blessed with godly grandmothers, a godly mother, and now a godly wife. I don't know if, I mean, how blessed is that? And if they have been such a blessing to us, children and husbands, then maybe we need to be a better blessing to them. And again, not just today, but every day. And in turn, as you bless them and as you honor them and as you recognize them, you are blessing and glorifying God who gave them to you to begin with. So may God help us to glorify Him first and foremost. And one of the means in which we do that is to be a blessing to our wife, to our mothers, and may God help us to do that a little bit better, not just today, but in the days ahead. Let's pray together. Father, we give praise to you by praising and acknowledging the godly character within the lives of our mothers and our wives. Thank you for the richness of that, even within this church body, even in this moment. So grateful, Father, for what you've done through these women and what you will continue to do. And I know, Lord, sometimes it feels like that they're really not having any impact for you. But may you encourage them. May you help them to remain steadfast in their pursuit of you. And may we as children and as husbands come alongside them to recognize their desire to be more like you. May we encourage them in that pursuit so that they might continue. And so that they might continue to influence. And so that there might be generations to follow that will rise up and know you as God and love you and serve you because they saw it by example within their mother and their grandmother and the generations that were before them. So, Father, we just take this moment this morning to give you thanks for all of that. Help us to demonstrate your character and the way we respond to our moms and our wives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.